Job Podcast on 95.7 The Game. Shomori Block.
You were clown then, and you're clown now.
Alan Stiles.
By 10 more inches, I'd be in the pros too.
And Adam Close.
What's he famous for? Wearing a thong?
Brought to you by the 95.7 The Game Podcast Network.
What's up, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Dream Job Podcast. I am Alan Stiles.
What's up, guys? I'm Adam Close.
I'm Shomori Block. The block is always top.
So, guys, crazy thing happened this week. Major League Baseball is back. It's back.
I know.
So it's back. MLB camps report July 1st. Season will start late July with 60 games in 66 days. So they're not wasting time at all. How are you feeling? I mean, this feels like a dream to me.
Is this another ebb on the seesaw? Like, I'll see it when I hear play ball. You know what I mean? I'll believe it when I hear play ball. It's tentative right now. I'm excited, but you know, I was excited 2 weeks ago.
I'm happy baseball's back. Universal designated hitter. Go back and listen to other shows. But also, they're going to be starting right when the NBA playoffs are going to start, and then a month before NFL training camp. So good luck, MLB. Good luck. You're going to need it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's better than nothing. Like Shomori said, listen to past episodes. Me and Shomori did not agree. This is what I've been waiting for. Universal DH, only 60 games. This is a dream come true for me. Let's just get it going. You know, there's no time to waste. But you guys are going to be hearing about, you listeners are going to be hearing about a bunch of different things as far as Major League Baseball is concerned. This is going to be a little break from all that. We have some great topics to cover today. We're going to be talking about, you know, the landscape of college sports and how it could be affected by the current events. We're going to talk a little bit about sports betting and, you know, how that can finally get to where it needs to be. So many states are having different ideas and different laws. And lastly, there's no way we could have this show and not talk about Bubba Wallace and NASCAR. So much stuff has happened within the last couple days and weeks that obviously we had to cover it. So to get it started, like I was talking about, guys, when you look at everything that's going on with the current events and the aftermath of George Floyd, and it's all been great stuff, we've also seen college athletes speak out. You know, Oklahoma State, hey, don't wear that shirt. What's up with this statue? These things like that. With these athletes now kind of thinking of themselves as more than athletes, do we think this could alter the landscape of college sports, where they attend, who has the power, who brings in the money, things like that?
I mean, I'm always been a firm believer of vote with your dollars. I mean, vote with your, you know, right to vote also, but vote with your dollars, spend your money with institutions that support the things that you believe in, whatever you believe, okay? Whatever your beliefs are, live your truth. I never really thought about college, you know, how it could be applied to athletics until the Mikey Williams story came up. And then it's like, oh, okay, that is the ultimate vote. And if you really think about it, right, you have all these schools, you have Alabama, the Clemsons, basically the entire SEC and ACC. Many of these institutions were built during slavery or Reconstruction by slave owners or former slave owners who fought to maintain the institution of slavery. So you can tear down all the statues and you could take names off of libraries, but you have to dig up the dirt and the grass and throw that out the window too and build a whole new university if you really just want to not build up an institution that was founded on racism. And I really like what Mikey Williams did, because I just imagine, could you imagine if all those top recruits, all those top recruits of African descent that go to Alabama, that go to Clemson, that play at Florida, if they went to Grambling, to Southern, to Howard, to North Carolina A&T, like all these HBCUs, imagine if Grambling was winning national championships every year, getting the big contracts. That would be a beautiful thing, and you would be building up an institution that was built on the idea of equality and not one that was built on the idea of inequality.
I've always wondered. That's really great, Porch Mari. And I had never thought of the HBCU angle. I had always just thought, like, I'm a California dude. You can see it in my hair. You know what I mean? Like, I support USC football mostly because a lot of their running backs played for the Raiders. But SC has been a top program for most of my life. And I've always wondered why you would go – if you play football, if you're a football star, why would – especially if you're a black football star, why you would go to Alabama, why you would want to go anywhere in the South. Miami's a little different. Miami's a little different. I understand why you would want to go to Miami.
Yeah, who wouldn't want to go?
But I mean, L.A. has its own problems. I hope that people start using their equity of their talent to say something with that. And if it's HBCUs, it's one thing. But I feel like it might just be more of a one-to-one of them starting of, I don't know if it's going to be the Big Baller League, but some sort of professional league for 16-year-olds and over. Because the NCAA has just too much power. The whole thing of, oh, what if I get hurt? That's the NCAA's whole that's their whole shackles over all athletes, because this is your only avenue to go and get that money. And if it wasn't, if there was some other avenue, I think that could only benefit the athletes. And I think that's what's mostly important.
Yeah. I think to start, when we talk about this, it has to start with basketball simply because of the one and done. So these kids can get in and out. Mikey Williams, I think he's the number one recruit right now. He's only a sophomore or something. He dropped like 77 in a game, something crazy like that. So wherever he goes, he's only going to be there for 1 year. Football is more difficult because you have to be there for three. It takes more to build a program. But especially in this age of social media, Mikey Williams is talking to the number two recruit. I think the number three recruit in that class would be Bronny. So they start talking, they say, let's flip the script. You know, when you play a sport, there's nothing worse, whether it's high school or college, there's nothing worse than the freshmen that are extremely talented with no fear because they don't know what they don't know. And they're, like I said, they're literally fearless and they feel that they can change the game. And especially in a situation like this, they really can. You know, Trace Young, he left Wyoming, three-star recruit, and now he's at Alabama State, where another, you know, and another part of this is where Mo Williams, former Cavalier, is now coach. So that's another section of this as well. We need to get some of these coaches into these schools to make it, especially when we're talking about football, to make it, you know, more enticing for kids to go there. When you look at, shout out to the Raiders, Khalil Mack. Well, not shout out to the Raiders because they don't have him anymore, but Khalil Mack out of a school like Buffalo. When you're good, you're good. You know, they will find you. So they can, even with football, it would take a longer time, but they really can flip the script on all this stuff because basketball, think about it like this. Can you imagine Grambling playing Duke? Like, we want Duke in the opening. These dollars, ESPN, they'll find you, okay? Bronny, with his super team in high school, how many times have we seen that many high school games on ESPN? You know, we've never seen that many. Then you look at, okay, Memphis. Sure, they were good back in the day, but now they come back. James Wiseman, Penny Hardaway. Now they're all over ESPN. They're in the same conference as Temple, so it sucks for me, but they're back, and they're doing really well, and they can really change this thing very quickly. They really could.
Basketball could, but also I really feel like college football coaches – are overrated. How many, outside of Pete Carroll and Bill Walsh, how many college coaches have went into the NFL and tore it up? Not that many. And the main reason is the number one skill you need as a college football coach is to be able to recruit. In the NFL, you have to sign players, identify talent. In college, you just recruit, recruit, recruit. So how many of these guys really would, I mean, Nick Saban included, he flamed out pretty damn quick with two teams, but he's the king of college football. Because he gets these kids to come here and play for him. And if, like I said, I grew up, so I'm from San Francisco originally, grew up in Vallejo, but I have New Orleans roots on both sides of my family, okay? So I grew up watching the Bayou Classic. I grew up watching Eddie Robinson and all that kind of good stuff. And Eddie Robinson is the winningest coach in college football history, because at a time when football was segregated still, and even after football was integrated, you know, they still weren't just welcoming guys in with open arms to a lot of the major programs. Grambling got all these top flight athletes. And you look at dudes, Deacon Jones, the greatest pass rusher of all times, came out of HBCU.
Nice knowledge, Mari.
Yeah. When you think about the coaches, you know, especially with the NFL coaches, or the NFL having an issue with black coaches getting in, you go back to college, do really well. Maybe you get the Matt Rhule treatment. Hopefully he does well. And then you got something going.
I just had this thought, man. All of those big time powerhouse programs are down there south of the Mason-Dixon line in the worst part of the country. Sorry. In the worst part of the country. I stuttered at first. I want to say that clearly. They're down there in the worst part of the country. And it's all booster ran, right?
Right.
It's all a big scheme of good old boys rubbing each other's backs, right?
Mm-hmm. That's definitely a part of it. And dropping Mercedes Benzes on recruits doorsteps.
I don't know. I don't know. Maybe 2020 is where the rug gets lifted up and everyone gets to see. I think there needs to maybe be some success stories.
There will be. And I think it starts with the Mikey Williams and things like that.
Basketball. Yeah.
Right. To close it out, I'll just say we've seen so many situations where these players have said that they don't even feel like athletes. Sometimes they don't even feel like humans. You know, they're gods on the field. But as soon as they step off the field, they have to deal with fellow students doing racist stuff all around them. And this is an opportunity to play for people that look like you and know that we love you for who you are regardless, you know, athlete, non-athlete, because all these guys aren't going pro, you know, so it's a chance to really have a community once you're done.
Yeah, man, that's good stuff. I was listening to the radio this morning and I heard that they pulled a bill off the California legislation to legalize or expand online gambling. And I don't really care about online gambling. The bill was pulled because a Native American casino lobby. And I don't really care about online gambling. It just got me to thinking why gambling was illegal in the first place, why there's all these prohibitions on sports gambling, on athletes gambling, on professional athletes gambling against other sports. So, okay, there's the no-brainers. There's the Pete Rose, don't bet against your team when your bad pitcher's out there. There's the point shaving. There's the Boston College game fixing. But that's mostly mob affiliated and degenerate gambling and gambling problems. That's not a widespread problem in professional sports. And so if the sports betting that's being done in 2020 is being done online via tech, why is it illegal? What's the holdup? Am I missing something? Did either of you guys ever consider wagering on your college or high school athletics? It seems preposterous, right?
I mean, we used to bet push-ups, you know, that was...
Oh, yeah, you would bet on your stats. You would bet on yourself. Do you guys have... I don't know. Do you guys have that same feeling of just what's the holdup here?
Yeah, I would say don't forget, Tim Donaghy in 2007 for the NBA. He was doing betting and he ended up doing 15 months in federal prison, right? So don't forget that referee aspect of it. But here's the crazy part, even with me saying that. Average NBA ref salary is from $150K to $550K. NFL ref salary, around $205K. MLB umpire salary, $150K to $450K. That's a lot of money to normal people, right? But I do understand everything looks better when you're around people doing anything more, right? So
you're saying the refs can be bought.
It's possible. But now, do they want to do, like, I don't know what he got to keep, but 15 months in federal prison, that doesn't sound that long. If he got to keep the money, all I'm saying is when you're 6 foot, you feel good when you're with someone 5'8", but then you see someone 6'2", and you're like, dang, I wish I had 2 more inches. So I think the ref issue is probably the only.
But legality, illegality doesn't stop people from pulling a ref aside and coercing them.
You're right.
I think much like marijuana, if you if you legalize the gambling, you'll bring it out into the open and it won't be the issue that you think it is. Plus, all those terrible states I was talking about, now you can do online gambling and get a little tax revenue. And maybe you don't have to oppress your people so awfully.
Right. Montana has sports gambling. And so does Iowa. And apparently California, we're lagging behind. And the whole idea of players being bought and the referees aside, you can say if you legalize it, it'll happen more. But hey, it happened when it's illegal. So here's the thing about people that break laws, which that would be, is they don't care whether it's legal or not. They're going to break the law regardless. So right. Making it legal will not increase or decrease the occurrence of anything, including the number of people gambling, right? So when you talk about it, then you talk about players and the advantage of now versus when the World Series was fixed like 100 years ago is that do you really think that someone can pay Mike Trout enough money to throw a game? Do you think that LeBron
can get away with it?
Would it cost? Yeah. How much would it cost to LeBron? Like, LeBron, can we give you another billion? You can't buy most of these guys these days, referees aside, whatever. And that's something that you just have to watch out for and police. And also, if a ref is throwing a game and the Donaghy guy, I guess he was really, really good at it. But you know when the ref is messing around, right? And that's it's kind of obvious because the referee, you know, should be invisible, right?
So is
the ref's
it, not though? Invisible. Okay, counterpoint, Shamari. I have gotten 1,000 technical fouls in my life, so I have no love for any referee ever. But I can't ever think that thought. I can't ever have that thought come into my head that the ref that's refereeing a game I'm watching or a game I'm playing in is doing something below board. Because
okay, wait, is it, your squad is the Raiders?
Raiders
and the A's. So I'm just saying.
Oh, and the Raiders get hosed. The Raiders get penalties every year.
That's
but
what I'm saying.
As someone who watches sports, yeah. I can't invest any stock into the theory that refs are crooked, because if that's the way you watch the games, you're going to hate sports.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. But I'm just saying when the refs are on one, then everybody knows, even if it's not there. So the refs are watched closely by everyone watching the game. I don't think unless you are a master manipulator, I don't think refs are going to really get away with it.
Right. And don't forget, you know, there's a couple conversations here because one is the stigma. And just like you said, with marijuana and how that had to change, there is a stigma with betting. Okay. People wanted to say, you know, Michael Jordan, you know, wasn't a great guy because he bet and he had more money than everybody in the world. He can bet if he feels like betting. The other part of it is obviously the Native Americans and where they fit into this and what they feel, you know, based on the money that they bring in, how this is going to affect them, because the bill wasn't passed because how the bill was written. It was basically going to allow your neighborhood card rooms to offer more Nevada style games, which also would take money out of the Native Americans' pocket, because now you don't have to go all the way to a reservation, a casino on a reservation. You can just go down the street. So I think that's part of it as well. But as far as the stigma, I just think it's just not seen as, you know, betting as a whole, not just sports betting, it's just not seen as a hobby yet. The same way weed wasn't seen as medication for a long time. We're just, right. We're trying to get there. I don't know if we will.
Do you guys bet?
I got a little FanDuel account, yeah. You know.
Occasionally. Yeah. Friendly wagers.
I might be like Michael Jordan. Or I'd probably be more like Charles Barkley. In that if I had paper like that, I probably would bet more. I also would know that I would never win.
Right.
I feel like as someone who knows sports, or at least knows how to analyze sports, it makes for terrible sports betting.
Yeah, no, I'm more of a poker player. When it comes to sports things, like outside of fantasy football, I'm like good, and that's a season long thing. It's like $100, and usually whoever wins it at the end, it's like, oh yeah, I forgot about that.
Oh yeah,
bucks I put it anyway.
I need that
yeah,
exactly. Yeah.
You don't even miss it.
Right. It's like it's always. I think. Because I'll do little pools for March Madness and stuff. And that's always when, because I actually, I don't watch a lot of college basketball, but I feel like I watch more than the other people I'm in the pools with. And when I'm sitting down there in the dumpster and somebody's girlfriend is in second place who's never watched, that's when I say, okay, I'm glad I don't bet on sports more often.
Right. I was in three fantasy leagues last year and won 6 total games.
That's 2 per yeah. Super, man. It's good.
No. I didn't even get two in every league, and one of them I got 1.
Right. Yeah.
It's not good.
I was gonna say at least you're consistent, but okay.
Yeah.
All right. You are listening to the Dream Job Podcast. I am Shamari Block here with Alan Stiles and Adam Close. So, gentlemen, in the wake of all of the responses to the George Floyd and other tragedies committed against people by law enforcement, sports have kind of stepped up a lot. NFL, Roger Goodell famously said Black Lives Matter. They were wrong about the protest. MLB has also embraced Black Lives Matter. NBA has went as far as to consider putting Black Lives Matter on the courts during this up and coming season, if that's what you want to call it. NASCAR allowed Bubba Wallace to have a Black Lives Matter car. Joe Gibbs Racing and FedEx took the FedEx logo off of Denny Hamlin's car and put the logo of the Civil Rights Museum on his car to advertise that. And in an insane turn of events, NASCAR banned the Confederate battle flag, which flies at NASCAR events all the time. So here's a question I'm going to ask you. All the other things, like including the fan base aside, as an organization, is NASCAR the most progressive sports league right now?
I'll start it off with the obvious no.
Ooh.
They banned the Confederate flag at their events last week. I know that is what progress is. They have progressed to banning the rebel flag of the defecting country that fought a civil war against us for their right to own people. But that was Monday. There's one black participant in their highest league. I think basketball player Bill Daughtry. I think he's the owner, but I don't think there's many other black owners in NASCAR. I don't have the stats in front of me, but I've seen the pictures. There's not a very high percentage of black fans in NASCAR. I know progress is about going away from bad things, and that is what they did with banning the Confederate flag, but we'll see what they do next week. You know, they got a lot of more things to do in my book before they're not the laughing stock of the political spectrum in the sports world.
Yeah. Similar to Adam. Well, first of all, I want to say this. What we saw this week with Bubba Wallace, whether the news, it wasn't real, it was, you know, a compartment in the garage, it doesn't really matter to me. What we saw this week was beautiful. I just want to start there.
God. Oh yeah.
What I want to say secondly is, in the spirit of 2020 and how crazy it is, if you would have told me last year that on June 22nd, 2020, I'd be sitting at home watching the Geico 500 and it wasn't the only thing on TV and I wasn't being held against my will, I would have said, you need to join Adam doing stand-up comedy. Because I would have thought it was the biggest joke ever. The biggest joke ever, you know? I think if NASCAR is the most progressive, it's because they have the most to prove. Right. Kind of like what Adam said, I don't even know if Confederate flags are banned in other major leagues because their fan bases wouldn't think to bring them, you know? And it's not associated with the sport, you know? The way I think about it is, if two guys work out for a month and one guy is buff and the other guy is scrawny, at the end of the month, you're probably going to see that the scrawny guy is now buffer, but it doesn't mean that the scrawny guy worked any harder than the buff guy. He just had more room to go. So that's kind of how I see this. NASCAR looks really good right now because they had a long way to go and they still have a long way to go. I think where they are now, to your point, Shamari, they are being aggressive with it, but where they are now, they're in that zone of where a lot of non-people of color have been, as in being not racist. Now we need them to show that they are anti-racist, and that's where this is going to get interesting.
I mean, no Confederate flags, that is against racism.
Having that, the Black Lives Matter card,
that is, well, but has the NFL allowed Black Lives Matter patches. They didn't let Kaepernick kneel 4 years ago. So they're just coming around saying, oh, hey, Kaepernick. And no, not even. They say, hey, kneeling's okay. We're not going to apologize to Kaepernick, but kneeling's okay, guys. Okay. The NBA, the Major League Baseball, whatever, they put out their statement. I do know that the Giants have been very vocal about this. And also, by the way, there's like this misconception that the Niners did Kaepernick wrong. Let me just say this. Kaepernick wanted out. They let him out. And then 29 or 31 other teams did not sign Kaepernick. Kaepernick did not really want to be in the Niners because he, like his whole thing was, you know, like, I want to go to a different team. And the rumor was he wanted to go move to New York to be with the Lala person, whoever the hell. Like, those are the rumors. Anyway, so
Lala's Carmelo, right?
I don't know these celebrity crushes of athletes, yeah, somebody like that. Anyway, Carmelo? No, so I don't
Carmelo?
Know. So,
I'm still a fan.
Wait. So you do remember, though, that you do remember the rumor, whoever this woman was, whose name escapes me, he like stole her from Alden Smith, right? You remember this?
Yeah,
you
heard this rumor? She was like a radio personality. Yeah, she wasn't Lala.
But I'm getting
she
off,
wasn't a TV
Nessa,
personality.
Nessa.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. They were both on MTV at some point, okay? So the Niners and the Raiders and the Giants have, and I guess I'll throw the A's in there, have been really progressive throughout their entire existence. It's all the way from Al Davis hiring Art Shell way, way back in the day as one of the first black head coaches, right? So the Bay Area, we've been good, but the leagues themselves really haven't done any more than NASCAR. And then when you talk about Confederate flags, they fly Confederate flags, the battle flag, at Ole Miss and Bama at during their football games. And I believe, Ole Miss, oh, and I don't want to like slander anybody if this isn't true, but I'm saying Ole Miss, I think it's Ole Miss, it could be another school. They had the Confederate flag like in their logos, like a flag waving rebel.
The flag of Mississippi. Flag of Mississippi, right. Is pretty
and
much
one of them, I'm pretty sure it was Ole Miss, was the last school to integrate in the U.S. So,
right. I'm just saying, NASCAR, and they were the scrawny guy. Everybody was scrawny.
That's fair.
To your point, and to contradict myself, Shamari, the NBA, we like to think of them as the most progressive, and for them to be on top of the ball with civil rights and to be the most woke sports league. But China probably doesn't feel that way. The protesters in Hong Kong probably don't feel that way after they folded immediately over this last winter, right?
Yeah. I still think it's a matter of timing, though. I don't know if unfair is the word, but what happened with Kaepernick in the NFL, that is what happened in the past. George Floyd and what the things that have happened has changed everything. Then, as it happens, one of the only leagues going on right now is NASCAR. You're right. They only have one, you know, black athlete. And then supposedly a noose shows up. So the timing of it, I'll say this. It wasn't a layup, but it was like a mid-range jump shot wide open. I'll put it to you like
throw?
That. A free throw. And they made it. Because free throws are not easy for everyone. Yeah. Right. You can miss a free throw. I'll say this. They didn't miss it, but it wasn't Steph Curry. That.
I'll give you a Shaquille O'Neal free throw.
Hey, I'll take that.
I didn't expect that from NASCAR in the least, man.
That's fair.
If we're keeping it 1,000, I thought they were going to do I thought maybe they put up a black square or something like that.
yeah.
I was moved, man. I know I text you guys. I was moved to tears in the Home Depot.
Oh, yeah,
like,
right.
that's not the place you want to be crying.
Right. So, like, I don't know. I don't know how true this is. I don't know if it's just a meme or whatever. But when they announced the Confederate flag ban, I saw a screenshot of the Twitter page, supposedly of NASCAR, that said some guy was like, "Hey, NASCAR, if they're gonna ban the flag, then I'm like out as a NASCAR driver." And then NASCAR curved this dude with just a. We don't even know who you are. We had to Google you. We're sure your 12 fans are going to be devastated.
We have to fact check that. But either way, that was hilarious.
If that's true, that's great. If it wasn't, God bless the comedic genius that came up with that.
Yes. No, I'm not trying to take anything away from NASCAR. What they did was awesome. I'll just say that in this climate right now, the timing of everything, they did step up to the plate. you know, they did step up to the plate and they did what they were supposed to do. So I'll give you that. So, but again, that goes to my point of we maybe didn't expect them to. That's what I'll say.
All right. So final thoughts. We're saying, I'm saying they're the most progressive. I'm saying that like at this moment right now, they're blowing everybody away with their actions.
Let's see what happens in July. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, if you're asking us right now, like literally right now, yeah. I would have to say NASCAR. But
right, if the segment of measurement is the last week, yeah, NASCAR. Yeah, but if you go back 2 weeks,
history's a mystery, and yeah. The future, blah blah blah, and the present, it's a gift, you know, Kung Fu Panda. It's a thing, man. We can only go off right now.
Right.
All right. Well, thank you guys for joining us. It's always a great pleasure. You guys, you want to plug your social media?
Sure. You know me, Alan Styles, Instagram, Twitter, @_StylesFiles, Styles with an I.
Adam from Genesis on Instagram. I used to have a lisp when I was in high school, so that's actually really hard for me to say. Every time you guys ask me to say it, I really have to concentrate on saying Adam from Genesis without saying Adam from Genesis.
It's, holy crap. I can see that. I can see your tongue.
No, it's real life.
I can see if any
of my friends from Milpitas is listening to this, they'll be like, just wait till winter. I used to not be able to say my R's either. But yeah, Adam from Genesis. I'm an adult man.
I'm Shamari Block. The Block is Hot 3 on Twitter. Shamari Block on Instagram. Man, I can't wait till next week, guys.
Yeah, it's been going great.
All right. Yep. Oh. Hey, and tap in with us. Let us know your thoughts about NASCAR. Let us know your thoughts about college sports in general and everything else we discussed today.
Baseball coming back.
Go ahead, comment. Tell us why Alan was right and Adam was smart.
and as always, hit me up. Let's argue.
Peace.
This was a production of the 95.7 The Game Podcast Network.